eating Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, the home of real fat guys talking about real movies.
Yes, it's also known as the podcast and radio show in which we may or may not be wearing pants.
It's pants optional cinema reviews.
Yes.
For all of you keeping track. And this week we've got a very exciting show for you. We're going to take a trip to Planet 51 with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a little bit of poverty porn going on with Precious.
Wow. Just strike out right there with your review.
We're going to take a little look at The Blind Side, in which Sandra Bullock might wow us with her performance. And then we're going to go to this, I guess, lesser-known film, Twilight New Moon.
This tiny independent movie.
Is that what it's called? Twilight? But before we get to all that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can get us over at fatguysthemovies.com, and for all those wondering, I believe we've fixed the issue over at fatguysthemovies.com,
which iTunes.
You can now download our episodes. And if you're hearing this, that means, well, I guess that means we fixed the issue. And you can get us on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, the iTunes store, search Fat Guys of the Movies. You can email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. I did not see any new voicemails this week at the time of recording. Also, you can get us on Twitter. You can get myself on Twitter at twitter.com/rejects. And you get Kevin Carr at twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's. And you can also get us on Facebook. Just search Fat Guys the Movies on Facebook. We have a Facebook fan page. You can become our fan. You can comment on things. You can write on our wall.
You can tell us that you can't download the podcast.
That's... You can tell us that you can't figure out how to download the podcast. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah. You did a very good job with that introduction, Neil. I'm very proud.
Oh, thank you. I was going for something good this week.
Just this week? I mean, that's not a priority every week. You're like, I'll do something good this week. Yeah. Next week, totally not.
Right. Yep, nope, that's all I got.
Are we ready to go? Are we going to start doing reviews now?
Yeah.
We got a lot of movies to talk about, so let's jump right in.
Yes, let's start with Planet 51, in which aliens on another planet freak out when an American astronaut invades, quote-unquote, their town.
Astronaut Chuck Baker had all the right stuff.
Throttling down now.
But on a routine mission to explore a distant planet, he was prepared for anything. Except this.
I can breathe.
I found the alien.
I'm not the alien here. You are.
What?
Huh? Hello? Hello.
Now, you were telling me off the air that you... forgot about this movie?
Yeah, I went to dinner I guess it would have been last Saturday night, and Massaworm from Ain't It Cool News was there, and he's like, hey, I'm just trying to get over seeing Planet 51 this morning, and at that point I remembered that there was a Planet 51 screening that morning, and that I and Dr. Kolobias from filmschoolrejects.com had forgotten that it existed.
So everybody lost out on that one.
Everyone lost. Even the people that went lost out on it, apparently.
The terrorist won with this one, apparently.
Yeah, I guess.
I saw it.
Well, see?
Yeah, there you go. I took my kids, though. I took my two oldest kids, who are 6 and 8. And the reason that's significant, I know there are some people out there like, oh, Kevin, quit talking about your kids. You sound like Kathy Lee Gifford. But... it's significant for a movie like this because this is the target market. I mean, this is not a movie for guys in their 20s and 30s who are fat who watch movies. Is that safe to say?
Fair enough.
When I was leading up to this movie, it had a real sort of Space Chimps feel to it, and it did not disappoint in that angle. It's not very well done. It's really, really forced. And it just... I mean... it just makes no sense, and it sort of takes that whole can you hear that? There's apparently Vietnam is happening outside.
Wow.
The magical studio in the sky.
This is the problem with being in the sky. Sometimes planes fly by.
Yes, Hueys and that sort of thing. But no, it sort of turns the whole 50s terror movie on its ear.
The alien invasion movies of the 50s.
Yeah, so it, it it's funny to a certain degree, but really it's just really poorly constructed.
You know, and what, you know what I think it might be? It's one of those movies with the gigantic voice cast where it's all the, it's like Dwayne, it's The Rock, Jessica Biel, Justin Long, Gary Oldman, Sean William Scott, John Cleese. Like, it's all these like big names, and that's usually not good for a... Yeah.
If you see too many names in the front of a credits at of an animated movie, it's a bad sign. Mm-hmm. Which is why, like, Pixar's like Edward Asner in Up, and he's not even that famous.
Right, exactly.
You know, so it sucks.
All right,
let's move on to the next one.
Yeah,
and I'm incidentally just a note to show how our professionalism is. I'm relying on your timer since I didn't start my stopwatch.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Just throw it out there for the people who are listening to realize we do make mistakes ourselves.
Well, the next movie we're talking about is Precious, a sweet romp through the life of an abused teenager in 1987 Harlem.
My name is Clarice Precious Jones. I want to be on the cover of a magazine. I wish I had a light-skinned boyfriend with real nice hair. But first, I want to be in one of them BET videos.
You're a dummy. Don't nobody want you. Don't nobody need you. School ain't gonna help none. Take your ass down to the welfare.
You're 16. You're still in junior high school. And you're pregnant with your second child.
And I don't know if I would call this sweet at all.
Would you call it precious?
That's the title. When I saw it, it wasn't called Precious. It was called Push.
Yeah, which was what the original book Sapphire. Was.
The initial book was called Push, but there was that other movie, Push, that Summit released about the...
Psychic Warriors. What I think is so funny is I walked out of this movie and I said to myself, I love the fact that they changed the name. So and that's the market. It's like they changed it so they wouldn't be... No one would be confused with the action movie Push. And I walked out and I said to a bunch of other people there, I go, I don't think anyone is going to be confused at all.
Well, actually, oddly enough, when I was at Sundance and I saw this and I wrote about it, it was right around the time that the other Push came out. Yeah. So when I wrote about it, people were like, wait, is this the Push with Dakota Fanning? And I'm like, no.
No.
But did you not read my review?
But now, I don't think anyone's going to... No one's going to go see this movie and go, oh my gosh, I thought this one was about psychic warriors.
Yeah, well, because now it's the Oprah and Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be awesome? This is something I said on Twitter, and a lot of people like this. I would love to see the videotape of Oprah and Tyler Perry duking it out to find out whose name goes first on the poster.
Oh, I think Oprah wins.
Oh, she did. Her name is first.
Yeah. But oh, she's always going to win. It doesn't matter.
Well,
Oprah wins.
If Tyler Perry would have come packing heat dressed as Madea, I think he might have won.
That's true. But anyways, back onto this movie. This is one of those movies that it is a great movie. In my mind, a great piece of filmmaking, a great piece of storytelling, but I never want to see it again. It's very hard to watch. It's a very, and I called it like poverty porn earlier, and it's just brutal to watch. But there are some fantastic performances in it. So I say it rocks.
Well, it was a well-made movie. It is just nothing but slathering on the melodrama. I mean, if you like this sort of thing, I wouldn't have a problem watching it again simply because I've seen a lot worse in terms of like, you know, depression and that sort of thing. But this one just, what bothered me, I mean, it just throws every single social issue you can think of in your face. And it's well done. And Monique does a good job as the acerbic mother. And Mariah Carey does a good job as the social worker, although all she really does is just sort of sit there. Mm-hmm. It's a very understated performance. But like, we got to the end, and there's a thing about two-thirds of the way through where they throw yet one more social issue at you, and I'm just like, really? Seriously? We're going to have Somali pirates come in next?
Oh, geez. And I think I'm cutting you off there, because we have to go to a break now. We'll come back to Somali pirates.
All right, and we're back with Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm going to continue with my thoughts on Precious based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
And the Somali pirates. I want to hear about the Somali pirates. That's all I care about right now.
It's just that there's so many social issues that are thrown in. And if you actually go to the Wikipedia page and read about the original novel, it was criticized for that. Basically, there were people saying, whoa, you're just throwing way too much into this. Mm-hmm. And I guess my thing is, if you like that sort of look, this person just getting beat upon by life, and can they
look at how much this person's life sucks?
Yeah, sort of this Job kind of storyline, and you're just like, you know, if you could, if you like to watch that sort of thing, and then maybe, you know, see if somebody can triumph outside of that, it's good. Mm-hmm. But it just, for me, it's not my cup of tea. So you know, right. For me, it's a, I don't know. I'm right on the fence on this one. Kind of rocks, kind of sucks, simply because it's not a kind of movie I like.
Yeah, but it's a well-made film. I would at least give it a kind of rocks.
I'm gonna say kind of rocks.
If I had to swing you in one position or the other.
Yeah, I mean, and if anything, I think, you know, Monique, she does a really good job in it, and I've always liked her as an actor. I've always thought she was very funny. So I think it's neat that she's getting a chance to shine.
Right.
Although, again, it's laid on really thick.
Yeah. Oh, totally. It's definitely there to serve the purpose of making you feel empathy towards this person's situation. Yeah. All right. Cool. Moving on to the next movie that we're talking about is the big movie of the week is Twilight New Moon.
That'd be the Twilight Saga.
The Twilight Saga New Moon, in which Bella goes into massive depression mode at the loss of Edward, and rock hard Jacob comes to the rescue.
You just don't belong in my world, Bella.
I belong with you.
This is the last time you'll ever see me. Please just promise me you won't do anything reckless.
It's like a huge hole has been punched through my chest.
I know what he did to you, but Bella, I would never, ever do that.
He left you, Bella. He didn't want you anymore.
I have to go.
Now, all right, so it's one thing to go into massive depression mode, as I mentioned in the little synopsis there, but it's another thing to be annoying about it. And this movie is annoying about this, like, whole I'm depressed about not... Edward leaves and I'm depressed and I'm going to have like night terrors where she screams in the middle of the night.
And that got a little much.
The first time.
And they did like, there's like a dozen scenes. It's like, I'm like, okay, I get it. And they're like, oh, look, she's going to be screaming, waking up again.
By like the fourth or fifth time, you're just like, oh my God, please stop. Please stop.
I wanted her dad to just smack her in the face.
Actually,
can I say something real quick
about her dad? Her dad is the only character, well, besides Jacob. I'm actually Team Jacob after this movie.
I'm totally Team Jacob.
Because, I mean, aside from the fact that he keeps his shirt off for the whole thing, which, you know what, if I worked out that hard, I would keep my shirt off all the time, too.
You know who Team Jacob looks like? You know who Jacob looks like?
Hmm.
He kind of looks like a more ethnic version of Matt Damon.
Wow.
Doesn't he?
I'm not even going to... Nope.
Okay,
nope,
talk about what you loved about Billy Burke.
But I actually liked the dad. The dad is kind of it's a very John Hughes-type role. In the way that in his relationship with his daughter, similar to the way like Molly Ringwald's had those relationship with her various fictional fathers in the John Hughes movies of the late 80s and early 90s. However, the rest of this movie sucks. And let me tell you why. Because
there's a vacuum of bad acting between Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson.
Right. And the movie, I think, doesn't achieve any sort of recognizable pace. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to draw it out and make it feel like a longer period of time. And they also try and put you into the mind of Bella, which the books did very well because the books are books. And you are reading the internal monologue of one character. But this movie, when you have long drawn out scenes and narration, it just feels boring. And it's not slow for the sake of... being slow and it's not a clever device. It's just slow and it's just boring. And the acting is poor. And I think Taylor Lautner is a decent actor and he has a lot of charisma in this role. I think, you know, Robert Pattinson is really, really, really playing hard on the plain, vapid, not
Robert
necessarily
Pattinson
vapid, but
sucks
hollow
as an actor. Bottom line, he's a terrible actor.
So,
he was bad in The Goblet of Fire. He was bad in Twilight. He's bad in New Moon. He's a terrible actor.
So, and Kristen Stewart is just, to me, is just kind of has this annoying factor to her where she does not feel like a real person.
She sounds like a cartoon character trying to lift something heavy through the whole movie.
Yeah, and really, it's just it's poorly paced. It's the CGI is once again kind of bad.
CGI and makeup's way better than the last movie.
It is way better than the last movie. But I really just feel like how do I say this? It's a slight improvement over the first one. The first one was abysmal. And yeah. this one is almost tolerable because there are some very cool scenes with the wolves, the werewolves, yeah. I guess.
Oh, you just spoiled it for everybody.
It's in the trailer. Dude turns into a wolf in the trailer.
Well, but there's what I thought was so funny is there's a scene where he turns into the wolf like for the first time, and they play it like the scene in the first movie where they're like, "Oh, you're pale," and she's like trying to like lead up to saying he's a vampire, and they just draw it out.
Right.
And
right,
I remember
right.
thinking it's the teen vampire movie. It says on the poster, Edward is a vampire.
Right.
This is not a surprise. Why are we taking this like it's a suspense scene?
Right. So, but you know, there's some really cool stuff. Like Chris Weitz achieves similarly to what he did in The Golden Compass, where he had that very cool polar bear fight in the middle of it.
That wicked cool rip the jaw off fight.
And,
yes.
And so I feel like some of the there's this one werewolf fight where there's two wolves fighting each other essentially. This is very very cool, very very brutal. But other than that, this movie is just not. It will suffice for the fans. But I think fans are more interested in the property. They're not interested necessarily in the quality of the film. And it's not a quality film. It's not quality drama. It's just, it's brooding. It's annoying. And, you know, I get it. I get why people like it. I just, I would stare at someone sideways if they were to tell me that not only do they like it, but it's also a good movie, you know?
Yeah. Well, here let me throw in on this because I did not like the first one. I do think that this is an improvement. If you look at this movie in two parts, I'm going to defend it a little bit, but not a whole lot. I'm very indifferent to the whole thing, but it's better than the first movie because they've improved on almost every aspect of it. And there is this, just like I said, this vacuum whirlpool vortex of bad acting between Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson, and then when they finally get to the There's you see it in the trailers, they go to like the vampire council, which there's always a vampire council in these movies, which kind of blows my mind because no one's that organized.
Right.
But the lead vampire is played by Michael Sheen, who just mops the floor with everybody. Is it actually?
Right, who's just a much better actor, clearly.
He just throws it down and they're like, oh wow, we really suck as actors here in the Pacific Northwest. This guy in Italy, he can act, you know?
Yeah.
And even like they got like Dakota Fanning there, who does actually a pretty decent job as being, but not much to the role. And then this guy Christopher Haderall, I think is how you pronounce his name. Mm-hmm. He's from movies like he's like TV shows like Sanctuary and Stargate SG-1. He plays one of the vampires, and it's suddenly they go to this council, and it's awesome acting. And then you go back to Robert Pattinson just sort of looking like he's going to puke the whole time, but. There are certain things about it. The first half is awful because it's just so weepy and whiny and it's all depression. Once the wolves show up in the second half, it gets a little bit better. I will say, if you take the second half of the movie, I was with the second. They're still weepy and everything. And I said this to my wife. I took my wife with me, and she's a huge fan of the books, and she loved the first movie. And she was like, she really liked this movie. And I pointed out, I go, well, the character of Bella is she's weepy, she's whiny, she's emotionally brittle and unstable, and everything's about her. It's
well, then
all egocentric.
She's just a terrible character.
But here's the point. It's incredibly accurate for a teenage girl. I mean, and that's what I said to my wife. I go, is actually Stephenie Meyer, did she do a better job than I give her credit in the sense that she completely captures the essence of a teenage girl? Mm. And that's why I think this is why it connects with its audience, because it connects with the, oh my gosh, I just love you and I want you to make me a vampire and I want to be with you forever and blah, I have no basis in wanting to be with you because we have no relationship. It's just I swoon in front of you. But that's very accurate to the teenage girl, and that's why, you know, it connects. But outside of that market, no one's going to like this movie.
Yeah. Wow, we just sank our teeth into a full 9 minutes of Twilight talk.
That's right. Well, we'll talk about The Blind Side next. You saying totally sucks?
I'm saying totally sucks.
I'm going to give it a kind of rock simply because it's better than the first.
Oh my God, get out of here.
Ah.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh yeah.
And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and now that we've gone through New Moon and other releases.
Can I say one more thing real quick about New Moon?
Yes,
the one
please.
Thing that I thought was so that I think's a harbinger to the way the film is. It opens. It starts with the title, and it starts with this giant full moon. It literally takes two weeks for the moon to turn into a new moon, and the words new moon to appear. It literally takes forever.
I actually during that opening credit scene where the new moon thing is showing up, I literally leaned over to Dr. Kolobias and whispered, "Even the moon, even the title sequence is brooding." It's the most brooding movie ever. Yeah. Anyway, on to a movie that doesn't brood too much, in The Blind Side, in which giant brain-sucking aliens lay waste to the quiet town of Hope, Nevada.
That is totally what the movie's about. It's all subtext.
He's been enrolled in 7 different institutions, including a gap of 18 months around the age of 10, when he apparently didn't attend school at all.
Do you have any place to stay tonight? Don't you dare lie to me.
Was this a bad idea?
What's the big deal? It's just for one night.
Find some time to figure out another bedroom for you.
This is mine?
Yes, sir.
Never had one before.
What, a room to yourself?
A bed.
Anyway, so this movie is not about giant brain-sucking aliens. It is about...
But wouldn't it have been awesome if it were about brain-sucking aliens?
Yes, it is essentially about... Sandra Bullock plays a woman, a rich white lady, I guess is the best thing you could call her.
She plays herself. She's a rich white lady.
In Memphis, Tennessee, who sees an African-American boy who is kind of living on his own. He goes to this private high school, and he's from the wrong side of the tracks, living on his own, and she takes him in. And he goes on to, she kind of teaches him life, and he goes on to become All-American football player Michael Orr, who now plays for the Baltimore Ravens.
Now, he started out as Michael Orr.
Well, I mean, he goes on to be an All-American football player at Ole Miss. But it's based on a true story. It's one of those kind of schmaltzy, it's very schmaltzy.
Very schmaltzy.
But it's also in my mind full of heart, and I'm a sucker for a good sports drama. You know, the remember the Titans and Rudy.
See, I don't know if I'd call it a sports drama. I mean, it has football in it, but I mean, there's it's like 25%.
It's more of a drama about family and poverty and classism and stuff like that. So, yeah. But you know what? And I think one of the best performances I've ever seen from Sandra Bullock, and living in the South, I can say that she's not doing a caricature of a Southern rich lady. That's how Southern rich ladies actually are. So that's pretty accurate there. Yeah, okay. And so I liked it. I think it kind of rocks, and I think it's definitely worth seeing if you're
just a kind of rocks. Boy, the way you were tweeting about it when you saw it, it would be like a totally rocks.
You know, it's probably a totally rocks. Yeah, no, it's a totally rocks.
Oh wow, you're so wishy washy on this movie.
It rocks either way. Like, it's good.
Okay,
it's worth seeing either way.
Okay.
So I don't know. What'd you think?
Well, this thing, I was dreading this movie. Let me just preface that. I was dreading it. I was like going, oh my God, this movie's going to be awful. And
which is fair, because it looks
The trailers made me want to puke in my shorts, man. This thing looked terrible. And after seeing it, I was like, oh, it's okay. Now, it's a button pusher. It is totally a button pusher. And and that's okay as long as it's aware of it. If it's self-aware about the button pushing, I think that's okay. It's well done, but I don't think it's great. It's a little bit overdone in terms of I don't know what Michael Orr is like, but I don't know, in some ways they kind of portray him like a Forrest Gump character, and is he really that? I mean, I don't know anything about the guy because I don't follow football.
Yeah,
but I'm just curious as to how they portray him, and it does go a little bit too far with certain things because she's that sassy Southern lady, and like there's a scene in there where like she tells off a drug dealer. And I'm like, they would completely blow up your house.
I think that actually happened, though.
I don't know if I've
read the book, but I think a lot of it is, I hear, a lot of it is accurate.
That may have happened to a degree, but usually you get raped and murdered when you do that. I don't
care.
It was
in the middle of the day, though. So.
I don't know. I mean, I'm watching this thing going, okay, she's really stupid. But who knows? It may have happened, but I think it may have been pumped up a little bit for the movie. And so I mean, it was okay. I'm just, this week is just me completely indifferent about movies. I'm like, there's I can't say I liked or disliked New Moon any better or less than The Blind Side, because I'm like, it was okay and it's for its audience, but I was like, I didn't hate it. So that's my style. That's going to be on the poster.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it, Kevin Carr.
All right, cool. So what's your official grade?
I don't know. I should probably just say kind of rocks because, you know, because I gave New Moon a kind of rocks.
Wow. It's a tie all over the place. All right, well, time to move on to box office then.
Yeah.
Talk about where these movies are going to finish. Three major releases.
New Moon's going to win.
New Moon is obviously going to... If New Moon doesn't win, then there's something really wrong.
It might make... upwards of 20 million.
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, really, seriously.
$80 million.
$80 million? You think $80 million? Wow. I would go less than $80 million.
Really?
I'd take the under on that one.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to be as big as people think. You know, I'm looking at 2012, which was a heavily marketed film, and it only made 65. Like, 2012, I think... I don't know.
So you're thinking
about
like
the same reach in different.
You're thinking 60 to 65 million. I mean, I think
I'm probably thinking 60 to 70.
I do
70
think
in the high side.
I do think its audience is going to be drawn away a little bit by both The Blind Side and Precious opening wide. I think is going to draw the female the adult female audience away from New Moon more than some people think. And The Blind Side, I don't know. I'm wondering if The Blind Side is just going to get kind of lost. Because
It's unfortunate because I think it's a better movie than Twilight.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's a much better movie than Twilight. Yeah. So,
but I think Twilight's going to do well. But I think it's going to be front loaded. I really think.
Right.
And I think what you're going to there's all these. I'm so sick of these stories about oh my gosh, the advanced tickets are selling out. I'm like, advanced tickets selling online have only been around for about 5 years. So you really can't sit there. That's not anything big. They're just getting, you know, just because more people are using it. I mean, look at Michael Jackson. They're like reporting advanced tickets, and that movie was very soft. I think it's gonna have monster midnight shows, and you're gonna have the Twihards and the Twilight and the Twi moms and all them.
Right. Well, I guess we still have to look at the fact that the first movie only made $190 million.
Yeah.
It was not a $300 million movie.
I don't think this one is either.
I think it'll open between 60 and 70, just like the first one. Mm. It'll finish right around $200 million, just like the first one.
Yeah.
And the third one's going to be the same thing, because it really feels like it has a built-in audience, and it's not an accessible enough movie. It's not a movie that's going to go out and get new audience members.
I think
the Twilight craze is based on the books, and those books have been out for a long time.
Well, and I don't think it reaches the mainstream the way like a Harry Potter movie does. It has a big fan base, but there are people like, oh, I'll check out the Harry Potter movie. I think what's going to kill this for the mainstream, honestly, is the first hour. That movie is so weepy and melodramatic in that first hour that I think is going to kill its audience. And the second half actually, you know, actions up a bit. But I made a comment to somebody the other day where I was like, yeah, I saw it. And if I were watching this on television, I probably would have turned it off within the first hour.
Oh, definitely.
So, anyways.
So, all right, cool. Well, moving along.
Real quick.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, we'll just mention a real quick shout out to another Second Reel podcast.
That's right.
Robert Fury from Film School Reject joined us with me and Mel Valentin from eCritic, who talked about Michael Bay versus Roland Emmerich. It was an interesting SmackDown. Excuse me, I just burped. Go download that and listen to it. It's actually pretty awesome.
I'm going to have to check it out now that it's back working again. Now that that guy's the movies. Podcast feed is official.
Thanks to all the fans for actually letting me know. It's nice to know that when your podcast falls apart, that people are bothered by that, which is awesome. So thank you to the fans.
We should have it fall apart more often.
Just to test it out, because I'm like, wow, shit, people actually listen to this show.
Yeah, indeed. All right, so next up is the Fat Guy 5 this week, and this is kind of a fun one, the greatest vampire/werewolf crossovers.
And New Moon is not on this list.
New Moon is definitely not on this list, although there are both werewolves and vampires in it.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
All right, cool. So what
You want to do the first two.
I'll start with the first one, the Underworld series.
This is the whole series.
The whole series, and I think really Underworld Rise of the Lycans is my favorite movie, the last one that came out.
Well, I love when it came out. It came out like only like 2 months after the first Twilight, and I remember in my review I wrote, go take your girlfriend to this movie and show what a real werewolf versus vampire movie is all about.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, it's brutal, it's nasty, it's got some really just kick-ass werewolves in it.
Yes.
And Michael Sheen also in it, just like the Twilight.
But
there's your Twilight connection.
He's a werewolf in this one, and not.
He's a werewolf in the other one, not a crazy Italian vampire. So, and the next one is Monster Squad, the epic late '80s story of monsters who are going to destroy the world at midnight or something.
Well, yeah,
I haven't seen it in several years.
Yeah, it's an awesome movie, but yeah, it's
it is a great movie. It's also coming out on Blu-ray next week. I got a comp. I was at Best Buy the other day, and they had a copy sitting on the shelf, so I bought it. But it's coming out on Blu-ray, so you should check it out.
Awesome,
people.
Yes, mine is. Well, I'm going to do the next one is House of Dracula. Back in the in the 30s and the 40s. Well, the 30s they had the standalone movies. You had the Wolfman, you had Dracula, you had Frankenstein. By the time they got to the 40s, they got really campy, and they started to mix the monsters up. They had Frankenstein meets the Wolfman as obviously one of the titles of one, but then they started doing House of Dracula, House of Frankenstein, where they brought in all the monsters, and you had Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, and the Wolfman in there, and those were great. And my favorite was House of Dracula, although Dracula never really interacts with the Wolfman in that one. It's more a Frankenstein or House of Frankenstein thing for the purists out there. Spoofing that, of course, is Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. You've seen that one, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, really?
Oddly enough.
Do you know? Here's a bit of trivia. What is the most notable thing about that movie in terms of monster trivia? It is the only other time, aside from the original 1931 Dracula, that Bela Lugosi actually played the character of Dracula. He played vampires, but it's only the only other time, aside from 1931 Dracula, that he actually played the character of Count Dracula, which is awesome.
Fascinating.
Awesome. Now, in the next one, we both kind of agreed with, because I like this movie, and I actually tweeted this back in October, Van Helsing. Mm-hmm. Here's a great crossover.
Yeah, it's got all kinds of monsters in it.
Hugh Jackman. And it really does kind of deal with the vampires and the werewolves kind of come together, and there's a significance to it, as opposed to the Frankenstein monster and like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde are just kind of wandering around through the film.
Yeah, and there's a story behind the relationship between the vampires and the werewolves. And I think in Twilight, if I might go back to that,
sure,
that's the most interesting part about Twilight is this story about the relationship between the vampires and the werewolves.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that to me is interesting. This stupid love story between these two characters who are just annoying is not interesting at all.
Yeah, the Twilight movies would be so much better if you didn't have Bella and if Edward wasn't such a douche.
Exactly. It would be way cooler. Yeah. So, but little girls wouldn't go see it. Anyway, we'll be back to wrap you up in a moment. Up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Team Edward, and Team Jacob.
I'm all Team Jacob. Neil, who are you?
I'm totally Team Jacob.
Yeah, because that Edward guy is creepy.
He's totally creepy because he's 100 years old and he's going after like the 16-year-old. 17, 18 now in this movie.
Right.
She turns 18.
I get weird stares when I go after 17-year-old girls. Why doesn't he?
Well, you know what's funny? I watched Gone with the... We'll talk about this in a little bit. Well, I watched Gone with the Wind this week. And it was the first time I ever saw it, and I looked up Clark Gable. I'm like, Clark Gable is as old. If Clark Gable were alive today, he'd be as old as Edward Cullen.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy.
And he'd still be hitting on Kristen Stewart.
And he was already creepy hitting on Vivian Leigh.
Back in the day.
Back then. And she's way older than... Well, she's dead now. They're both dead.
Right.
Technically, I guess Edward Cullen's dead, too, because he's a vampire.
Right. He's undead, yes. I suppose. Anywho, time to move on to the world famous DVD roundup. We got some important ones.
Big ones. This is a great time for DVDs.
Huge week. Probably my favorite Blu-ray so far of the year, which is Star Trek. It is packed.
I hate you.
Packed with special features, tons of special features, and 30 featurettes. 30.
30?
Some of the featurettes have sub-featurettes.
Wow.
And it's just really, really fascinating.
Did you just say fascinating?
Boxes. Yes.
I want to punch you in the face.
and a really great gag reel. Probably the best gag reel I've seen in a long time. Yeah. So get out there and buy Star Trek. If you don't buy Star Trek, there's something wrong with you. Also, if you don't buy Fight Club, there's also something wrong with you.
Yes.
It came out 10-year anniversary Blu-ray, and there's a really awesome little trick, I guess, at the beginning, like a little fake out.
The first rule of the Fight Club Blu-ray DVD combo is you don't talk about the Fight Club.
Yeah. Anyway, so also we've got the Gone with the Wind box set. You just mentioned Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
I watched it on Blu-ray. It looks beautiful.
Oh,
on Blu-ray.
And that's one I hadn't seen. I'd never seen Gone with the Wind. Just for some reason, it escaped me. And so I finally sat down and watched it. It looked like it took me like 3 days because I watched the first half, then they have the intermission, and I never got around to watching the second half. Then I finally watched the second half. And it's okay. I mean, it's it's one of those things. I think watching it for the very first time as a guy in his 30s in 2009 is probably not the ideal way to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I were in the 1930s, although it's like it glorifies the South unless you're like a slave. Because the slaves had it rough.
They did. They had kind of a tough time.
Yes.
So, all right, cool. Well, that's pretty much all I have. I don't think there was anything else that I wanted to talk about this week.
Well, I'm going to throw down for a couple of them. And I'll say, again, this is such a great time for Blu-ray and DVD because Christmas is coming up. So everyone's releasing some really awesome box sets and some movies. The first one, I got to throw some love for Bruno. That is, to me, one of the funniest movies of the year. And what's fantastic about the Blu-ray is it has all the deleted scenes and all this, but it has a visual commentary where...
The visual commentary is just awesome.
Oh, it's incredible because Larry Charles and Sacha Baron Cohen, out of character, sit there and talk about the movie, and they say, well, this is what we did here. And they'll pause. What's great about it is it's not a fleeting commentary. They'll pause it and say, okay, here's what we did at this point, and here's where we were almost arrested, and blah, blah, blah. And it's a great... I started watching it just to see what it was, and I got sucked in. I watched the whole commentary one night. And what's also neat is it's the first one that has the Pocket Blue. Have you used the Pocket Blue iPhone app yet?
No.
It's you download it to your iPhone, and what it'll do is it'll unlock. Right now it's just Universal stuff, but you can download the deleted scenes onto your phone, and you can watch deleted scenes, some of the extra footage. It also will connect to your Blu-ray player, and you can play. You can use it as a remote, which is the total epitome of laziness, because if you don't already have a Blu-ray remote, if it's like at the other side of the room, you can just pick up your iPhone and use that as a remote, which is really kind of cool.
Sounds like right up your alley.
Oh, it totally is. Also, I got to throw down for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, A Very Sunny Christmas.
Oh, God. Awesome.
Hilarious. I love this show. And what's great about it is they don't let anybody grow on this show. Nobody grows. Nobody gets better. They're all just awful people. And... it's a disturbing movie, but it's awesome. And if you go to what?
Indeed.
They do a great throwback to the old claymation stuff as well, which is probably
which I love. The Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, essentially a sketch.
Oh yeah.
But with Danny DeVito.
If you go to Film School Rejects, there's a drinking game that will probably kill you if you watch it. With that,
if you do it correctly, it will kill you.
Yes. There's also the Kevin Smith Blu-ray box set, which is really nice because it has Clerks, Chasing Amy, and Jane Silent Bob Strike Back. First time on Blu-ray, I believe. Am I right?
Yes. Okay. First time on Blu-ray.
A couple more just real quick. Scrub Season 8 is on Blu-ray and Drawn Together, the complete series. If you like that, which is sort of like a cartoon reality show. If you don't get the joke, then you deserve to be, But that's a good show. And then Dane Cook had a thing out, so I guess I got to mention that. But then the stinker is My Sister's Keeper.
I don't know. What's the stinker?
My Sister's Keeper.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. I had totally forgotten, even though it's written in my notes.
Yeah, it's, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Whew.
Oh, we're done.
Anyway.
Oh, my gosh, we're at the end of another show.
We are at the end of another show. We next week, well, let's wrap up our reviews first.
Real quick.
Planet 51, Kevin saw and
sucked.
Said.
Sucked.
And then Precious, I saw at Sundance and said totally rocks.
And I say it kind of rocks.
New Moon, which totally sucks.
And I'm going to say just barely kind of rocks simply because it'll reach its audience.
Yeah, because you'll,
whatever. My wife
and then The Blind Side, I said rocks.
And The Blind Side kind of rocks.
Next week, we've got Old Dogs and Ninja Assassin.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you can get us over at fatguysatthemovies.com. Get all the information you need over there. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Ta.
What are we talking about next? Whatever's in my notes.